Thank you. All right. I do try to keep things, you know, within perspective on the time. I don't want to bore you. I want to keep your attention span and so forth. And I know some guys out there, they'll preach for an hour, hour and a half. And anyway, usually the people's done got all done disinterested, and you've lost their attention and everything else about it. And so I try to be very just wanted to be able to realize what's going on and everything. And so I respect your time as well. Cut. Yes. All right. All right, brother. How's that? Okay. Well, I tell you, we live in a very serious time, don't we? Desperate times that we're seeing here in our country. Who would have ever thought that we'd see to be seeing the things that we're seeing happening and so forth. But it is upon us. And, you know, we all face problems individually. We're facing problems right now as a nation and so forth. But, you know, to me, I think we need some encouragement from the Lord sometimes. And, you know, David, he's encouraged himself in the Lord. Things had gotten so bad, and the Bible says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been there, but I'm sure you have at a time or two in your life, that you just had to come along by yourself and just kind of get along with God and before you just come apart and try to encourage yourself in the Word of God. Leonard Ravenhill said many years ago, "An experience of God that costs nothing, does nothing, and is worth nothing." And so we need an experience with God that we know is surely from God and that can help us to draw closer to Him. With that being said, I'd like before you turn in your Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'd like to be able to say also at an introduction here, just to kind of bring us up to the lesson I'm going to teach on here. In the first chapter of the book of Job, you'll see that he is called perfect, in Job chapter 1, verse 1. In the last chapter of Job, of Job chapter 42, verse 6, he abhors himself. Now, that was God's perspective of Job as being perfect. By the time we got to the end of Job, you'll see that he abhors himself. Why? Well, the more one grows in grace, the more he realizes that he's only a sinner saved by grace. And that's what I am today. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And the more that we look and see how unholy we are, the more we see how holy he is. And then we realize that, hey, we need to do what he says do and go his way. Today at 11 o'clock hour, I'd like to be able to preach a message on the old path. I believe in the old path. All right. And so, but this morning, we see ourselves as God sees us, even as dust and ashes. But if God is to exalt us, we must humble ourselves. You know, some people out there is reaching for this world and everything of this world, and they're trying to just exalt themselves and be somebody. But God wants a humble heart, and he can use a humble heart. And Job exclaimed in Job chapter 40, verse 4, "Behold, I am vile." And the more that we see that of ourselves, then the more we see clearly of God, of how holy and how needful we are of him. And when Job was brought into the presence of God's holiness, and he sank down in astonishment, he was clothed with shame and filled with self-loathing. And the manifestation of God's glory to a sinner always produces the same effect. Isaiah felt as Job did, and he exclaimed, "I am undone, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And so the more we see that, then the more God can use us. And we see that right here in this lesson, I believe. Some things about how to draw closer to God when things have just gotten
out of hand, gone wrong. It seems like the world is totally against us and everything else falling against us. But we can turn to God and humble ourselves to Him. David did that in this passage, 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I like to read the first 10 verses. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. In other words, David had come home, him and his men, and they found this chaotic scene. If you can imagine it in your mind, you know, their city of Ziklag had been just burnt to the ground. And all their wives, all their sons, and all their daughters had been taken captive. I mean, can you imagine how that must have just gripped David's heart and caused him to just throw up his hands, and, you know, and probably I can just see David probably just knowing the man that he is, just falling down on the ground. And I'm sure he probably asked, why has this happened? You know, but David didn't stay on the ground. He got up. Let's read verse 4. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. That's weeping right there. I don't think I've ever wept that much where I had no more power to weep. But he did, because they're heartbroken. They're, what in the world are we going to do? Our families are gone. Our city is gone. All our goods and all our livelihood is gone. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. I underlined that in my Bible. He was greatly distressed, and rightfully so. For the people spake. Now he's going to catch it from both sides. Not only has everything been taken from him and all his men, and their city burned to the ground, but notice now, for the people spake of stoning him. Now he has a threat from his own men. They're going to kill David. They're going to blame him for what's went on here. And then what we do a lot of times, though, we want to pass the buck, as I call it, a lot of times. And instead of trying to solve the problem, we want to just kind of excuse the problem and pass it off and try to handle it ourselves. Now, these men, they're not spiritual. They're not looking to God. I believe David is going to look to God for this thing. He's greatly distressed. But these men, no, let's blame somebody real quick. And let's just do him in, you know, instead of looking to God for what shall we do. Well, it says that in verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of David, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But now let's notice what David says. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. He went to the right source. And David was to Abiathar the priest, or said to the Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord. So he did the right thing, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. That's a great promise from God to David right there. David inquired of the right one, and he just said to the Lord, I need an answer. I'm in a desperate situation here. And God knew his heart. And God gave him the answer, told him to go ahead, pursue them. You're going to overtake them. And without fail, you're going to recover everything. You're going to get your wives, your sons, your daughters, all your belongings, everything is back. You're going to get it back. And what a great promise from God. So David went. He didn't hesitate any longer. He didn't sit around and try to just make excuses or anything. He went. He and his 600 men that were with him came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. And David pursued, just like God had told him to. He and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And so they got tired and they became faint. But just a little while ago, some of those guys was wanting to stone him. Wondering where their strength was lying in, you see. David, his strength relied on was in the Lord. And my question is, do you ever have a Ziklag to come by in your own life? David's Ziklag right here, his city, has been burned down. His wife's children, all his men's wives and children have been taken captive by an enemy. And we have an enemy out there. And it's just like the Amalekites, that enemy is. And it comes along, and the word Amalekite itself means dweller in a valley. A dweller in a valley. Now, you know, when everything's going good and there's songs written about being on the mountaintop with God and all that, and everything's going real smooth in our life, isn't it, then? Everything's going good, just like we want it. Just to let you know, we don't have any problems, no distress, and all that. But then comes Amalekite, the one that dwells in the valley. Something happens in your life. Maybe from a loved one, somebody kin to you, a friend, or maybe a job, or it could be numerous things. But it wants to drag us down into the valley because that's where the Amalekite dwells. He's a dweller of the valley. And you know our enemy, the devil, he wants to keep us in that valley, you see. And he wants us to keep us down and just crawling along, creeping along where God wants to get us up. And God wants us to go just like David did. He went. He didn't hesitate. After he got the word from the Lord, he went. And that's what we should do to overcome the Amalekites. See, if David had never, if he'd have just waited around and said, well, are you sure, Lord? Are you sure you want me to pursue? Is everything going to be all right? Are we going to get everybody back safely? See, he didn't question God. You don't find that there in the Word of God where David questioned. And a lot of times that's what we do. We'll get an answer from God, plain and simple. And then we want to sit down and say, well, wait a minute. Maybe I need to seek after another answer to make it clearer or something like that. And you don't see David doing that. So is your Ziklag today, is it burdensome? Is it grievous to you? That's what it was to David. And he was greatly distressed and his men were grieved. You see. And I might ask you today, who or what has the Amalekite taken from you? What distress has the Amalekite, the one that dwells in the valley, caused you? These Amalekites, if you study about them, they were a nomadic tribe of uncertain origin. Don't even know where they came from, started from. There's no history of that. They occupied the peninsula and the wilderness between the southern ranges of Palestine and the border of Egypt. And there's nothing ever good thing right there on about Egypt, is it? They are always roaming, unsettled, wayfaring in their lives. Does that describe a lot of people that you might know? And it seems like they just seem to can't get their life straight. They have no foundation under them. They're always moving and about like they're on living on shifting sand, you know. Always moving about. Well, that's the Amalekites, you see. That's the Amalekite that comes in people's life. It's our enemy. Always roaming. You know, the devil, he goes up to and fro through the earth, doesn't he? And he seeks whom he may devour. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. They're unsettled. Well, that's what the devil wants to do. He likes to get you and I unsettled about something. He likes to keep us just kind of our minds over here and then over there and then over here. And before you know it, you just running to and fro like he is. You can't make an absolute decision. And so, and there was a wayfaring, always just going their way, not having any permanent destiny or anything about God in their lives. They had no permanent dwellings. They had no stability, always wavering. James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8 says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And my friend, I tell you, see, when a person gets unstable in all their ways, that's exactly where the devil wants to get us. And God wants us to be stable. He gives us his own words to help us to be stable. But David here, I think he's a man, just like the Bible says, he's a man after God's own heart. And that's the reason why he encouraged himself in the Lord. And he had some things about that he knew about God. He could trust in God, and that's what he wanted to do. Let me say this about his two wives there, because God named them for a reason right here, pointed them namely out. Ahinoam means gracious. And that's our God. He's gracious to us. Now, Abigail means a source of joy. That's our God as well. He is the ultimate source of joy. And David, all of a sudden, when he comes back home, his city, not only Ziklag is burned down to the ground, but his wives right there, the one that means gracious and one that means joy, source of joy, all of a sudden is gone. And that's again, that's what the Amalekite, our enemy, wants to do to us. He wants to take our joy, our source of joy, away from us. He wants to take the graciousness of God. He writes, our enemy likes to bring disappointments to us, you see. Disappointments and distress. Just like David said, he was distressed there. All the things you and I think about, all the hurt, all the problems, all the decisions that we have to make, you know, that we face every day, God is concerned about those things. God is concerned about them. He was concerned about David right here. And that's why he answered David. When David inquired of him, verse 8, he inquired at the Lord. And he answered him. God did. Through that ephod, he answered him. And the way you and I get our answers today is we must stay in the Word of God. If we try to pursue and try to get answers on trying to work out the problems ourselves without going to the Word of God, then we're just going to create a bigger problem. A bigger problem a lot of times. He wanted to get in touch with God, and that's what he did. Some things that can encourage us when the adversities come, when we've got to make decisions, go through. I believe, number one, that we need to stir up the remembrance of the gift that God has in us, that is in us. That's what he told Paul told Timothy, stir up that remembrance. I stir up the remembrance of the gift of God that is in us. What are some things that we need to remember that would encourage us when the doubts of this world and the fears of this world, and the, if you will, the Amalekites of this world would come and try to tear us down? Well, let's go to that 2 Timothy. Turn over there, if you will, 2 Timothy for a moment. I believe God gives us some answers that can help us whenever trying times come, when the Amalekites of this world come and try to tear us down and get us in the valley. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, we need to remember, I think this will encourage us, just like David was encouraged. It's the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. I don't know how many times, whenever I'd have distress problems and so forth, something that's coming down upon me and so forth, and just oppressing me, I'll remember, God saved me. He's given me eternal life, everlasting life, and I'm secure in that. Never to even doubt my salvation or lose my salvation. I have eternal security in Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you, but that helps me to remember that. When the Amalekites of this world come and try to bring me down in the valley and I can't see nothing but darkness around me, that helps me to know I'm saved eternally. Verse 2, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ our Lord. Well, that's some other things that helps encourage us. Remember God's grace. Remember His mercy that He has toward us. We don't deserve that grace nor that mercy. He treats us much better than what we deserve, doesn't He? My goodness, we don't deserve it. And so when we remember how graceful He is to us and how much mercy He has extended to us, but not only that, but peace from God. You know, we live in a world, and I watch people everywhere I go. Well, we just went to North Carolina last weekend and so forth, and had a wonderful time with our family and so forth. But, you know, everywhere I go, I watch people. And for the most part, majority of people, they don't have peace. You can see it on their face, on their countenance, if you will. And they're just walking around, and it looks like the whole world is on their shoulders. And they have no peace. It's just burdening them down. And I'm thankful today for the peace of God. He give me that peace of God and keeps me there with it. And now only His peace is everlasting. Only His peace can get us through the difficult times, you know. I know Brother Cooper, y'all going through, but your brother, falling and breaking his hip, and he was already in bad health and so forth. And you maybe have to say just a question, what else can happen? What else? How much more does he have to go through? But the peace of God passes all understanding. And God gives grace and mercy and peace, and I'm so thankful for it. Well, verse 3, the Bible says, I thank God, whom I serve, from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. Well, it's comforting to know, to me, that someone is praying for me. I can be going through a stressful time or something, and all of a sudden, God's peace comes about. Automatically, I know somebody is praying for me. And it may be my wife. I may find out later that day or something, and she just tells me, she says, I was praying for you today. And I said, I know you were. I know you were. You know, you have people, friends come up to you or call you. You know, I was praying for you this week, and I know you were. I can tell that. And that remembrance of knowing someone is praying for you, well, that's an encouragement, knowing that someone cares. That's what we need today. We live in a world today that it seems nobody cares. But our God cares. And there's still, God has a remnant of people that still cares. And I'm thankful for that. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Well, your tears mean something. When you shed your tears over something that's going on in your life or your family and so forth, and you're weeping. David, remember right there? He wept until he couldn't weep anymore. There in our text. We need to remember your tears mean something. I guarantee you, God took account of those tears that David was weeping. I think that's one reason why God answered so quickly, pursue. I really do. You know how important our tears are, and I teach a message on this, but just turn over there to Revelation. Something God showed me one day as I was reading through the book of Revelation for the 100th time or so, and I had never realized it at that time, or pointed out at that time. But Revelation chapter 5, this will show you how important your tears and my tears are to God. Revelation chapter 5, if you will, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. This is a scene in heaven. Having every one of them harps. Now look what they had. And golden vials full of odors. And the Bible tells you exactly what those odors are. What those golden vials are filled with, which are the prayers of saints. That's the prayers of born again believers. And God thinks so much about them that he bottles them up. You know, you're over there in Psalms that David speaks that, and God bottles my tears. That's how important your tears are, you see. And when said that they sang a new song and so forth there. And let's see. Find it right here. In chapter 8, just turn over a page in Revelation chapter 8 to just expound just a little bit more about those tears. It says, I'm going to read verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with what? The prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. You see that thing? How important your tears are? God puts them in a golden vial. They're just not tears falling to the earth or falling down and you're wiping them away and they're forgotten. Your tears are never forgotten by God. Verse 5 of 2 Timothy. When I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Well, faith, our faith that we have in God should encourage us. Your faith in God will bring joy to others. Did you know that? Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching me. And they're watching to see how you're going to handle the next valley you get into. And by faith, when you go through that valley, they're going to see when you come out, wow, that's going to bring joy to them. And it will increase their faith as well. I don't know how many times brothers and sisters in Christ have encouraged my faith in the Lord due to something that they're going through and how they handled that situation, you see, and giving God the glory. Verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting all in my hands. Well, we encourage every time that the good gift in us is stirred up. And that gift is from God. Every good gift is from above. And verse 7, the Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That verse 7. The reason why I went over to 2 Timothy when I was studying in there, 1 Samuel chapter 30, is because that verse right there alone, I believe it reminded me so much of David. I believe David grasped hold of not having, he didn't have the spirit of fear, but he had power and he had love and he had a sound mind. You know, whenever you're down in the valley and the Amalekites after you and they're trying to destroy you, my friend, let me tell you something. It can be a fearful thing. It can be a fearful thing. When we're going through sickness and so forth, it can be a fearful thing. But God says he hasn't given us the spirit of fear. He wants us to trust in him. Fear not. So many times God says, fear not. And then we see that we have power through God. David, he relied on the power of God, not upon his own power, not upon his men's power, because all his men there, they're wanting to stone him to death. He relied solely upon God's power. And so should I, you and I. And then on love. You know, David didn't punish his men for wanting to stone him. He could have done that. He could have had a lot of disagreement with them. He could have fought them. You know, he could have just really had a, even later, after they recovered everything, you know, he could have went after his men and said, you was going to stone me to death, you know, and held bitterness in his heart. And you know bitterness will destroy you? Amen. My goodness. It just keeps, once bitterness sets in, that seed of bitterness, it begins to sprout and grow, and it just takes over a person's heart and mind where they have no peace and they'll have no joy, you see. But David didn't allow that root of bitterness to come in. No. You don't see him later on even attacking his men for what, you know, he realizes they were grieved as well. See, we're to weep with those that are weeping and rejoice with those that are rejoicing, the Bible says. David here didn't have the spirit of fear, but he had the spirit of love. Had the spirit of love. But he also had a sound mind. And I'm going to say this. It is critical for you and I to keep a sound mind in the Word of God, through prayer, through faith, if we're going to serve God, and if we're going to get through the valleys that the Amalekites, and it comes. The valleys do come. And of course, God's trying to mold us when we're in the valley as well. This is why he allows it to come. He's trying to shape us. He's trying to get our faith to grow. We're also to, you know, to be able to depend on him more. I mean, if everything was a mountaintop experience, it didn't cost us anything, what would we do with God? We'd kind of just brush him aside. I can do this on my own. I don't need you. And like so many people in the world that we know that does that. But I don't want to do that. I want to stay close to him. I want to trust him in everything, in every way. And I want to have a sound mind, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, Joshua, if you'll turn over there just about this fear, Joshua chapter 5, or chapter 1, excuse me, verse 5. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Bible says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And I was with Moses, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. This is what God says to you and I today too. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. God is so good to us. Isn't that what he told David over there in 1 Samuel? You'll not fail. You'll fail not. And the same promise holds true today for you and I. God says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide. For an inheritance the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You know, I can't help but believe that David knew that by heart from the scriptures. I believe that's what encouraged him there in 2 Samuel. When his Ziklag had been burned, and the Amalekites, the things of this world, had come and taken everything he had, I believe he went right back there and remembered what God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. Be of good courage. You'll not fail not. I'll not forsake you. All those words, I believe, came flooding back to David's mind, and that's what kept him with a sound mind. Folks, I'm going to tell you, there's some things we can go through in life, and the devil and the Amalekites of this world can throw at us, and it almost drive us crazy, won't it? I'm telling you. It's almost like, wow, am I going insane? But God wants us to have a sound mind. And that's one of the things that we need to remember. I believe David remembered it. And I could go on and on right here. Verse 8 and 9, it says, stir up the remembrance in you and reflect back the and remember that God has saved us, redeemed us, given unto us a holy calling for his own purpose and grace. Verse 10 in 2 Timothy would talk about it should encourage us to know God has brought us from death unto life and immortality. Verse 11, God has given us a job to do, and we're to do it through him and through his power. Verse 12, we now have the ability and persuasion to know absolutely that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Do you turn everything over to God? Or do you try to hold on to some of the things in the valley? Some of the things that's thrown at you? How about faith? Do you try to solve your own problems, or do you trust God to solve your problems? Verse 13, I will read that in 2 Timothy. Hold fast, the Bible says. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This should stir up the remembrance of sound words from God Almighty. Just as I read in Joshua chapter 1 there. Sound words. It should encourage us to know that God values you and I. He not only values our tears, but he values your very life. You know, when David went after those Amalekites, he did retrieve, you can read the rest of chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. He did retrieve every wife, every son, every daughter without fail. Everything they owned, they got it all back. All their belongings and everything, they brought it all back. And he didn't even lose a man, a soldier either. And he was able to conquer these Amalekites. God, he is so wonderful to us. So precious he ought to be to us. In everything and in every way, we should trust in him for everything. And be like David. Have a sound mind. And be quick. Whenever a problem arises, a decision to be made, be quick to go to God with it. Don't wait an hour to go to God with it. You'll face some problems this week, some decisions this week you have to make. Don't wait till the end of the day and get home and then try to make the decision. Or try to go to God. Go to God right then. Just take a few moments in prayer. Go to God right then. And see what he does. See what he says. Our dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for all that you do. Thank you for your precious words. Father, I thank you for your great promises in your book. Father, that we can rely on. Father, that is our foundation, dear God. Father, we thank you and we love you. Father, I want to pray for these prayer requests that was mentioned here this morning before Sunday school. Father, that you would just be with each and every need. Be with Rick Cooper, dear Lord. Father, we pray that healing, that you would heal him fast, dear Lord. Father, help him not to injure himself anymore by falling or anything. Help him, dear God. Give him patience and comfort, dear Lord, to be able to get well. And Lord, may you be with him. Comfort him, dear God, in all his problems and distress, dear God. Help him. Help his brothers, dear Lord, and their families. And be supportive, and Lord, help them through this time and give them comfort. Give them, dear Lord, the strength that they need to be able to do this. And Father, be with all the unspoken prayer requests that was mentioned here this morning. Father, may you meet every need, answer every prayer according to thy will. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.